Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
Day is coming to an end.
It is 5 o'clock. I will see you all tomorrow.
But Gwen and Chris are just getting started.
Sports talk it is.
Your hosts, Tony Gwynn Jr.
It's a keyboard, man.
Man?
Told you this.
And Chris Ello.
Had a good time in Fresno yesterday? Not really. What am I kidding?
Do you have a good time
in Fresno? What was I going to do yesterday?
It's time to get you up to speed on all things sports.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
With plenty of nonsense in between.
Oh, look! Here comes our fearless producer!
Gwen and Chris starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. I'll tell you what, this Sweet 16 game between Michigan State and Kansas State, magical things going on. And a heroic performance being put in by the point guard for Kansas State, Marcus Noel. He just came back in the game with a bad ankle, Scraby.
He's hopping on one foot.
Did you see the shot he just made? He
did
tracked
not.
Down a ball on the baseline. It got knocked away. The shot clock was running out. He picked it up at the three-point line, turned around and banked it in, and then hobbled down the court after making the three-point shot. The guy can barely walk, but Kansas State desperately has to have him in the game because Michigan State has made a great comeback, and it is 55-55. Now Michigan State falls behind by two, 57-55, but Noel on the one leg trying to will Kansas State into the Elite Eight. The other game right now is a mismatch. The Sauce is getting blown out by UConn. 44-27, 2 minutes to go in the first half of that game. But this K-State, Michigan State game, that's going to come right down to the wire. All right, we are kicking off the happy hour here on Gwen and Chris. It's been a great day. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we've enjoyed bringing it to you, all of the interviews that we've had, starting with Joe Musgrove, who you'll hear again coming up at the bottom of this hour, Michael Wacha, Nelson Cruz, Nabil Crismat, and now a new outfielder for the Padres, Adam Engel, a guy that maybe a lot of you kind of dismissed. Remember, Engel was hurt at the beginning of spring training, wasn't really getting a lot of reps, not any playing time. But Engel is going to be a guy that makes this team. And he can steal a base. He plays great defense. Came from the Chicago White Sox. Here's a chance for you, as well as us, to meet Adam Engel.
We are joined by Padres outfielder Adam Engel. Adam, thank you for your time. How are you today, my man?
Doing great. Just walked into the facility, so.
They snatched you up pretty early, huh? Yeah.
You know, the show airs at 4 o'clock this afternoon, Adam. People are going to be thinking, what a lazy guy. He's coming in at 4 in the afternoon.
So, Adam, tell us a little bit about your spring. You got off to a little bit of a slow start, had to deal with the calf injury. How are you feeling getting back into the groove of things a little bit?
Yeah, feeling really good. Came in with the, like you were saying, just a small calf injury setback. So just took things slow, made sure we got it right the first time, and feeling really, really good. Just feeling healthy, so running around and excited to get going.
Take us through the off season a little bit. I mean, you don't have a team, then all of a sudden you have a team, and you have a pretty good team. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, and then the phone call comes from the Padres. I'm sure your agent says, hey, this is an opportunity. You probably thought, wow, my good luck. I mean, this is a great club I'm going to. Just take us through the whole process of it, going from not having a club to feeling really good about having a club.
Yeah. So I got non-tendered at the right before the deadline, the tender deadline. So that was a little bit of a shock. I feel like players typically, they don't ever think they're going to get non-tendered released or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
I got non-tendered, and then it felt pretty slow, as far as the other free agents coming off the board. And then my agent called me one day and was like, hey, I think San Diego wants to get serious about something. So, if they send out an offer, then I just want to help you wrap your mind around going to San Diego. I've got a family. I'm married, 4 little kids. So a lot of our decision making is based on that. So he was like, hey, you're going to have to go. I'm from Cincinnati. So you're going to have to go from Cincinnati all the way out to San Diego. And, if that's something you want to do, just be ready to say yes if you guys talk about it and feel good about it. So the actual, calling that part with the Padres happened pretty quick, So called my wife. I was like, hey, babe, we might have to go to San Diego.
Well, that could be worse. You could have said we got to go to Buffalo or some crazy place like that where they snow all the time.
Oh yeah, we're really excited about it. It was not a hard sell at all for my wife. So
good.
It was we're really really excited to get out there, and like you're saying, it's an incredible team. So that obviously helps. But yeah, really really pumped to be here.
As a father of 4, I certainly understand that. Kind of sinking feeling finding out about being non-tendered. Peel the curtain back for folks listening right now. I mean, that's not something that the outside world gets to hear a lot about in terms of that experience. Mm-hmm. It's generally comes as a surprise. How are you able to kind of work through that, especially knowing the responsibilities you got that you're holding up to?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, Like you're saying, you got 4 kids, and you're supposed to be the one that's trying to make money. My wife stays at home. She's an incredible mom. She loves it. She, does all kinds of things at home for our kids. So, my responsibility is to be able to support our family. So it's like somebody calls and tells you don't have a job, regardless of your industry. It's like, man, that's tough. At that point, it's like, okay, what do we got to do to make sure I can get another job? The pressure, it feels like the pressure's on even though, you're not playing.
Right. You can't control any of it, right.
Right. So, you've kind of, your product is your product. And at that point, it's like, okay, we got to just listen to what other teams have to say and make sure the offers make sense, make sure the cities make sense, make sure, all of that makes sense. And, once San Diego called, and we felt really good about it, so like I said, it was a really easy sell to my wife. San Diego, everybody, I don't think I've heard a bad thing about San Diego.
Which is probably won't.
Yeah, which is incredible. Like every other city, I feel like I've heard this is good, but this is not as good.
Right.
San Diego, it's like, you're gonna love it.
Yeah,
you're gonna love it.
Yeah.
So we're really excited, and like I said, once the Padres called and we were able to agree on terms, it was pretty quick.
Adam Engel is with us, new Padre outfielder. Tell us a little bit about your brand, your product, what you're selling, what kind of ball player we're going to get here in San Diego.
Yeah, I pride myself on defense. I think that's what I'm known most for is playing, a high level of defense. So that's something I take a lot of pride in, and I prepare, the best I can to make sure that I'm sharp in the outfield. Hit right-handed. So, I do my best to, make sure I'm prepared for left-handed pitching and right-handed pitching too. I feel really comfortable, honestly, on both sides, regardless of the guys throwing lefty or righty, but I feel like more of my value, I guess, would come against facing left-handed pitching, but, I can be ready at any time. I don't, on this team, I don't know exactly what my role is yet. I feel like over the next coming days, we'll have a better idea of how the manager wants to use everybody, but I'm always ready, and especially this year with the new rules, I'm excited to get on the bases and hopefully grab some bags. It seems like they're the rule changes are encouraging more base stealing. So that's something that we're in constant conversation with as far as trying to get an edge on the bases just based on the new rules and stuff like that. So I'm really excited for that part of the game this year. Like, I'm pretty pumped to try to get out there and steal some more bags.
Adam Engel with us here on Gwen and Chris, former White Sox. That was the only organization you had known prior to coming here to San Diego. What are the differences you've picked up on here early between the two organizations?
Yeah, I mean, they're very different. You know, like you said, I'd only been with one team forever,
right?
And so everything I knew was the White Sox brand of baseball. So, you know, coming over here, you know, literally everything's a little different. You know,
White Sox are old school for sure.
Well, yeah. Well, it's just, you know, just the way you go about your day, the way the schedule's set up. You know, there's different rules, so it's like literally every single aspect. You have different people making decisions over here,
right?
So,
right.
Like, I just thought that baseball is kind of one way. From, you know, what other guys who have been on multiple teams say, like, no, man, every team's literally different.
Yeah.
So that's how it is over here. You know, things are different. It's not like it's, you know, baseball's different. It's just the way you go about it is. So I enjoy it over here. Really excited, man. What a group of guys we got here.
Yeah.
Like, huge talent, but really good people, really good teammates. So my experience so far has been two thumbs up.
Did you get a chance to watch any of the playoffs last year? Are you that kind of a fan? Did you see some of the craziness that was going on in San Diego when they were making their run last year? And now that you're a part of this, thinking, hey, I hope I'm a part of that in October.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't watch the playoffs at all last year.
Really? Okay.
We kind of had a tough season in Chicago, and, you know, we
needed to unplug.
Yeah, I just needed to get away from it.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I got to see, you know, San Diego all year and years prior, and it's like electric.
Yeah.
And these guys are electric. So, and obviously we played against you guys at the end of last year, and we're playing in a game that
that's right.
The clinching game was against the White Sox.
Yeah, it's like middle of the game, and the fans are going crazy on like insignificant, like in the middle of an at bat.
That's right.
I'm like, what's going on? Like,
they were losing that game. I think you got the White Sox won the game that the Padres clinched it.
Yeah. And so it was like a really weird. And then it finally hit me, kind of what was going on. I'm like, oh, okay. Because sometimes stuff like that will happen, and like other teams in the city that you're playing in have done something cool, like football, like the football team or something.
Right,
stuff,
right,
or
right,
like
right, right.
Team. And I'm like, San Diego, it's just
the Padre.
Good point, Adam. Like,
oh no, they just clinched. That's what happened. Okay, this makes sense now.
That's strange.
Yeah, no doubt, Adam. Listen, man, we appreciate you coming by and spending some time with us. Looking forward to getting to know you over the course of the season. Good luck the rest of the way, man.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There he is, Adam Engel, the newest Padre outfielder, and you'll see him on the opening day roster, and you'll see him playing. Right-handed bat and an excellent defender. So, and he's got speed. He can steal you a base. Trent Grisham, I'm not putting him on notice, but we talked about this already. Trent Grisham's got to have a better year than he had a year ago. Mm-hmm. The one thing that the Padres have done is they brought in some reinforcements just in case Trent Grisham doesn't get, you know, back to hitting 230, something like that.
Yeah.
Adam Engel can play. David Dahl can play. Jose Azokar can play. And, you know, that's okay. I mean, as good of a team as you have with the Padres, competition is still a good thing.
Oh,
You want guys going head-to-head, battling every day, fighting for their jobs, because that's the way you get the best performance. And best performance is going to be good for the Padres as a whole. All right, we're getting some really unbelievable performances in this Kansas State-Michigan State game.
Just continues.
Guys are just throwing in three-pointers. Marcus Noel, the point guard at Kansas State, is playing on one leg. He's coming up with assists. He's making turnaround jumpers, banking in three-pointers. And then Michigan State's answering at the other end. I mean, this is a tremendous college basketball game in the Sweet 16. Right now, 7 minutes to go. They are tied at 70. And it's just the one big play after another. And these teams really fighting their hearts out to go to the Elite Eight, and that's what it should be all about. In the other Sweet 16 game, they're at halftime. Connecticut, who people said was like the most dominant team in the first weekend. Mm-hmm. They're looking like it tonight. They are leading the sauce, our friend Eric Musselman in Arkansas, 46-29 in favor of UConn, a 17-point lead for the Huskies at halftime. All right, when we come back, the voice of the Padres, Jesse Agler, will be our guest as we continue our tour de force from Peoria after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Back in Peoria. I don't know if you have access to this NCAA tournament game, but it's a thriller. Kansas State leads Michigan State 77-73, 4.5 minutes to play. It's a four-point game, and both teams are just playing lights-out basketball, Scraby.
Yes, they are, actually. Like, I look over, they make a shot.
Three-pointer, it's
in. They make
in.
A shot.
Yeah.
I look over, they dunk it. It's just everybody is scoring.
It's been a terrific game. It's great to see kids battling for a spot in the Elite Eight. Go.
This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by your local San Diego County UPS store. Your local San Diego County UPS store locations are hosting a shred event from March 20th through March 25th. 50% off shredding services. Visit theupsstore.com for the location nearest you. See store for details. And Padres fans, if you are looking for a way to get to the games this year, the party starts before the game on the coaster train. Join the winning team and buy your coaster train tickets to Padres games and score big at gonctd.com/Padres.
All right, and you, of course, will be listening to Padre Baseball all year long right here on 97.3 The Fan. And the voice you will be hearing along with that of my partner, Tony Gwynn Jr., is the voice of the Padres, Jesse Agler. We had a chance to catch up with him today from spring training. Get some thoughts from him on what we all hope is going to be a championship season. Time to visit with the voice of Padre Baseball. Jesse Agler joins us here as we continue our coverage from Peoria, Arizona. Jesse, how do you like your partner, Tony Gwynn Jr.?
He's
Tell
fine.
Me a little bit about this guy. What am I getting myself into?
Well, I think you know as well as I do. Man, it's embarrassing because there are...
Isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of times I'll go on an interview, you know, I'll do some radio show or some podcast or somebody's writing an article, and, you know, they'll ask like a fairly basic question. Hey, what's it like working with Tony? Which is like a pretty standard, and man, I won't shut up for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna embarrass him now because he's standing there, but like,
He's
feel like the luckiest
best.
Guy in broadcasting.
He's
I really
the best.
Do.
We both think you're the best, Tony.
I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, really, you're the best.
Do you want me to tell you all the reasons why?
No, we don't need to do that. But this is why we have a good time when we do the game, though, because we got a good vibe. So
we actually like
absolutely.
Each other. Yeah,
it kind of goes a long way. Listen, it's been a long spring training, Jesse. New rules have really changed the shape of what this game was. It looks like right now. Last night we do an hour and 52-minute ball game. I mean, just talk about overall, like,
that's crazy.
What are some of the things we're starting to notice as we do these games, you know, because it's a different game right now.
It is different, and you said it really, really, really well about the shape of the game. I like that. I'm going to steal that. It is the same game. It's the same nine innings, but the shape is different and the feel is different. I think that's a really good way of putting it. I sat on the couch last night because I had all this time on my hands after that game, and I was thinking about it, and here's what I've come up with, I think. And this all comes with the caveat and the asterisk that the regular season
right.
probably is going to be a bit different than spring training, because spring training is sort of its own animal. But I think here's where I've landed after a month of this. The 1-2-3 innings are crazy fast.
Yes, they are.
Once you get a guy on base, though, it feels fairly normal.
Right.
And so I think that's going to sort of dictate much of how these games go during the season. If you get two aces or two guys who are just dealing on a given night, it's going to be fast.
Yeah.
Because those guys aren't going to use all 15 seconds between pitches, and it's never going to go beyond 15 seconds. And a 1-2-3 inning can be done in 90 seconds if guys aren't grinding out at bats. Now, leadoff man gets on, clock goes to 20, the cat and mouse begins with the pickoffs and all of that. It starts to feel not as slow as it used to be, but it starts to feel normal.
Right.
And so I think base traffic and scoring to an extent are going to be highly, highly predictive of time of game, which had not been the case the last 15 years when it didn't seem to matter what the score was. The game was just going to be long. 3-1 could take as long as 12-10.
Yeah, and it did. And it did. How long is it going to take you to get used to in your mind a line drive into right field being a base hit now?
Oh, it's
rather
best.
Than caught by the second baseman and the guy gets thrown out.
My favorite thing this spring has been ground ball up the middle into center field.
It's a hit. Yeah, it's a hit now. So
it's definitely been a little bit changed. Let's talk about the roster as we see it at this point. It's weird, right? There's not a lot of space. But there are question marks in terms of order, how it all comes together. But as you and I have been discussing over the last 2 days, opening day is just that. It's the first game of the season. There's still 161 left.
The ring is the thing.
Right.
The ring is the thing. Opening day is not the thing. And we're going to get all excited for it because we're baseball fans and it's opening day. If Juan Soto isn't ready for opening day, that's fine. You know Fernando's not going to be there. That's fine. Joe Musgrove's not going to be there. That's fine. Yu Darvish may or may not be ready for opening day or that opening series. That's fine. Think big picture. Like all year long as a fan, I implore you to think about the trophy being lifted up over Bob Melvin's head on a little stage, you know, at the end of October. That's what you should be focused on. And if that happens, we're not going to be worried that so-and-so wasn't ready on March 30th against Colorado.
Right.
So you got to think big picture all the way. That is sort of, I think, the mentality of everybody in the building here, and it's certainly my mentality as well. Will it take a little bit of shine off opening day? Sure. Does it matter? Not at all. Now, if you're a bad team, and you and I talked about this
yeah,
the other day.
Yeah.
If you're a bad team, opening day is all you got. And so that is the big, exciting day. You want all the shiny toys out there. But that's not the case for this team.
No.
Jesse Agler, of course, is with us. You're the storyteller. You're going to tell this story to the 2023 season to this great fan base. Do you have a little bit of a plan to tell this story? Do you have a little bit of an idea of the angle you want to take all year? Or is every game going to be its own entity?
Both, always, right? You know,
okay.
I mean, you do have the sort of overarching thing, which is what we were just talking about, which is,
yeah.
you know, what the goal is, the anticipation of this season, the goals of this season. Good morning, Nelson Cruz. Good afternoon, I mean.
Nelly.
Yes,
too.
That's right. Thank you, Jesse.
and so, you know, that's kind of that's the big thing. And then day-to-day, there are other things that you lock in on a day-to-day basis. When Nelson Cruz is homered in three straight games, we'll be talking about that, while we'll also be talking about the big things that are going on.
They just got really weird because Nelly is just, like, standing here.
Oh, right? I didn't even see him.
let's go back to the schedule. It's a little different this year.
Yes.
You and I will get a chance to see
– Less Rockies.
Less Rockies. We'll get a chance to kind of see the entire league.
Yeah.
How do you think this is going to affect the game this year in terms of viewership and fans?
Yeah, I think it'll help. You know, what I'm most excited about is this. There's some kid in Kansas City, right, or in Minnesota, that has probably never had the opportunity to see Fernando Tatis Jr. in person or Manny Machado in person or Juan Soto in person. And that kid now, at minimum, is going to get to see a guy like that every other year. And that's great for the game of baseball. I love the tradition, you know, AL, NL, it isn't what it once was. I think we all know that, especially now with the designated hitter in both leagues. But I always think about it like that. We're trying to grow the game. We're trying to grow fans. You have some of the most unbelievable talent in the history of the sport on the field right now. We got a bunch of it, by the way, in the clubhouse.
Yep.
And so for a kid anywhere in the country to be able to have a more regular opportunity to see that guy. Last year, we went to Kansas City. It was the first time the Padres were there in 20 years.
First time I'd ever been there.
Me too.
Yeah, weird. So
20 years. So, you know, think about all the guys that played for this team over the course of two decades, never went through Kauffman Stadium. And you're not going to have that anymore, and that's good for the game.
Yeah.
Poor Royal fans didn't get to see the likes of Chase Headley and, I don't know, how many dozens and dozens of Padres who played here over the years. Jesse Agler's with us. How many times have you been asked or just – has it been mentioned to you this year that you're in for an unbelievable season? Like, this team's going to be good. What do you keep saying to everybody?
I just smile. No, I mean, it's like every other broadcaster we see during spring training, every PR guy that comes in the booth to check on us, they're like, man, your place is going to be unbelievable this year.
Right.
And I tell them, yeah, we're probably going to average about 40,000, probably going to break our single season sellout record somewhere around the All-Star break. And they just shake their heads and smile because they know how great Petco is, even when it's not rocking and jam-packed. And it is now. And it's going to be a party all season long. And we got a great taste of it last year. We really did, particularly in the postseason, what it can be like there. There's going to be much of that all season long, and that's incredibly special.
I don't know that you and I got to discuss last year's playoff run, at least on our airways. First the Mets, then the Dodgers. What was your favorite moment between the two series?
The Mets series was just... My lasting memory will be Joe Musgrove shutting them down, getting his ears checked by Alfonso Marquez, and continuing to shut them down. I mean, I feel like we might be talking about that in 20 years.
I think you might.
I mean, it was that kind of nutty of a thing. And then the Dodger series, I mean, I guess the goose coming down in shallow right field at Dodger Stadium. And then, you know, the comeback in the seventh inning of the last game in game four, Jake's hit. A one you and I have talked a lot about because we're nerds. Kim bouncing that ball past third base when Justin Turner was drawn in because of the bunt. Huge, huge moment in that game that kind of set up everything else that took place. And then obviously Hader coming in, you know, tight game out of the bullpen. Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman, three of the best hitters literally in baseball. And it didn't matter in that moment who was standing in the box. He was going to strike them all out, and he did. It was incredible. In the rain, Blink 182, all of it. I mean, it was incredible.
Right. What a night. You know what? I just want to say one thing before we let you go, Jesse. A couple of days after that, there was game three of the NLCS. It was in Philadelphia. It was on a Friday night. My wife and I were celebrating our anniversary, and you don't know this, or Tony wouldn't know this, or I might have mentioned it to him, but we were driving to Big Bear that night on a Friday night. I wanted to watch the game. She, of course, wanted to celebrate our anniversary. We took you and Tony in the car all the way to Big Bear, game three of that playoff, and I was on the edge of my car seat listening to that game and your play-by-play and your analysis. And I don't know if you can – when you're going that far away, the station's kind of going in and out a little bit.
There's an app for that, you know.
And you're I don't know how to use that stuff. I was still on the terrestrial radio, my friend.
He's got a coat hanger out the top of the car.
I had a coat hanger out
window.
The car. Yeah. I was trying to listen to you guys, and you guys were bringing it home. I know they end up losing that game, but that's one of my favorite moments, sharing that game with you guys as a broadcaster. And I think I speak for a lot of fans who say they share a lot of games like that with you guys, and we appreciate what you do, and have a great season.
Too nice, man. Thank you so much.
And
we will. Thank you, guys.
All right, Jesse Agler, our final, well, not our final interview, because we're going to give you another taste of Joe Musgrove in just a couple minutes. But, yeah, he's a great voice of Padre baseball now, and I know I'm not alone as, you know, listening to a playoff game on a dying radio somewhere, and your play-by-play guy is your eyes and ears and everything, you know, and that's what we love about you know, our play-by-play radio guys. All right, we'll take a quick break here. We'll come back with our Joe Musgrove interview. This NCAA tournament game, again, still going down to the wire. Kansas State has a 5-point lead, though, over Michigan State with about 2 minutes to play. They're in a replay review right now, trying to determine who was going to get the basketball. But K-State by 5, Michigan State right there going down to the finish. We'll get you caught up when we come back on Gwen and Chris.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, welcome back to Peoria. Gwen and Chris, Crisello, Matt Scraby together in our little makeshift Odyssey Palace Studios out here in Peoria Sports
nice.
Complex. Yeah, beautiful. Wind blows through here pretty good, though, Scraby.
It's getting a little chilly in here.
Getting a little chilly here in the late afternoon. But it has been a hot basketball game tonight between Michigan State and Kansas State in the Sweet 16. And honestly, there was really only one way to decide this game, and that's with overtime. And that's what they're going to get. Michigan State scored the final 4 points, outscored them 7-2 down the stretch to make up a 5-point deficit in the final minute and a half. And Michigan State has forced overtime with Kansas State, 82-82. You know what's crazy about this, Scraby?
What?
The first overtime game of this entire tournament. There has not been an overtime in the NCAA tournament yet.
Really?
Until this game. And it's been some kind of game. So
I swear I saw an overtime game.
I'm almost sure you did not, unless I'm
completely
mistaken, which wouldn't be the first time. All right. Hey, it's been a great day. We've had Michael Waka on. We've had Nelson Cruz on. We've had Nabil Krismet on. We've had Adam Engel. Joe Musgrove's going to finish it up for us. And don't forget, we will be on live from Peoria again tomorrow beginning at 2 o'clock. We'll have another jam-packed show.
We're scheduled.
Scheduled?
With the skipper.
Bob Melvin. Okay.
We are also scheduled. Now I'm blanking on who we're scheduled
Blake
with.
Blake Snell.
Yes, thank
Matt
you.
Matt Carpenter.
You. Yes.
We're hoping for everybody. Everybody's always to TBA because you never know if somebody may have to get something else done. But those are at least three of the guests. David Dahl will hear his interview tomorrow for sure. And we'll have a couple
of
more.
Oh, Nick Martinez, possibly Jay Groom as well.
Okay, so all of that coming up tomorrow. But we're going to finish it up with some Joe Musgrove. And then at the end of that, we'll be able to update you on how this overtime period goes with Michigan State and Kansas State tied at 82 in a classic NCAA tournament game. Let's get to traffic and then get to No-No Joe. And indeed, we are joined by Joe Musgrove, the San Diego Padres' great right-hand pitcher here on Gwynn and Chris. And Joe, how are you? How's things this spring? Going along just as you planned, I imagine.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, a few wrinkles in there, but I feel like I was able to recover pretty fast from that injury, and I feel like I'm back on somewhat of a normal schedule as far as the limitations that get put on you when you're on a rehab program. You know, even the simple things like fielding the bunt play or going to the field to watch PFPs, you know, you got to argue and fight and scratch for every little thing you get. So I feel like I'm getting a little more freedom now to get out there and get on more of a normal program.
What was your very first thought that went through your head when kettlebell hit toe?
I didn't react a whole lot to it, to be honest. I mean, I hit my toe, but, you know, you smack your toe plenty of times. You use that pain fades. I didn't think much about it. It hurt, but I tried to move on and kind of let the pain fade, and the more time went on, it was getting worse and worse and worse. And I actually noticed it when I went to put pressure through that big toe. My sock kind of just like filled up with blood, and I knew it was a little worse than I expected. But yeah, the pain, I guess, kind of it settled in after I saw the damage and saw how bad it was. That's kind of when you start feeling that discomfort and pain. But immediately it was just kind of numb and hot. So,
Joe, I mean, where are we at in terms of a pain level right now? I mean, the toe has got to be still broken at this point. It hadn't been that long.
Yeah, I think the fracture's still in there. They said that could take, 6 to 8 weeks to completely heal. They said that the MRI stuff or the x-rays, they might not show that it's healing as fast as it actually is. And they said you'd probably feel better than it looks. So it's kind of going to be a pain tolerance thing. Right now, I'm not in any pain at all, just moving around. Once I got that nail taken off, a lot of the pressure, was relieved, and that was, I think, the main source of the pain and discomfort. So once that nail came off, it's been pretty tolerable.
Joe Musgrove is with us, and one of my favorite interviews I've ever got to do. I have like a top 10, and top 5 is Joe Musgrove the night he pitched his no hitter because I was doing the post game show, and we talked a little bit about that night. You'll probably never have to buy a drink in this town again.
It's been a while.
Well, here we are. We're 3 years in. You haven't had to still buy a drink since the no-hitter.
Yeah, and it seems like every year I'm getting an opportunity to make my own drink. So soon I'm not going to have to worry about anything. I'll have them all stocked up at the house. But,
man,
the city of San Diego has been so good to me. I think I've said it before, but I feel like San Diego is very prideful, especially El Cajon for,
no doubt.
Athletes.
No doubt.
And supporting guys that are from San Diego. So even when I was playing in Pittsburgh and Houston, I had really good support when I came back home. But, being back here and I guess the magnitude of some of the things that I've been able to do in a Padres uniform has raised that to another level.
One of the things that we talked a little to Jake about yesterday is, as a player, we very rarely take the time to really, look around and see what we have accomplished. But in the same token, these last 3-4 years have flown by. Have you taken stock at any point? I mean, especially after last year, you pitched that game in New York, and man, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. Have you taken any stock in thinking about what you've been able to do to this point? I know you still plan to do a whole lot more, but has taken stock on any of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of value in kind of sitting back and analyzing, what went down, and I think you can gain a lot of confidence and a lot of motivation by looking at the little things that you've done along the way, and you try to not let your head get too big and think constantly about those things, but you do need some positive reinforcement and some some success to kind of build that confidence off.
Right.
So there's been times, and I feel like a majority of that stuff comes when I'm out in public and running into fans. You're constantly reminded of how big some of those moments were to those people, and I think hearing the stories and hearing people's experience of where they were when those moments happened and the experience that they had is the most exciting part. It's kind of getting to relive it when you're out on the field and doing the actual action of completing something like the no-hitter or that New York game. You're so caught up in what it takes to actually do the job that you're not having a chance to sit back and really think about the magnitude of what it was. So, yeah, I get reminded constantly by fans, but, again, like I say, you try not to hold on to those things and have that be what you're remembered for. You just see it as another stepping stone to get to where ultimately you want to.
Joe Musgrove is with us. Love talking to No-No Joe about Padre baseball. We're here at Peoria Spring Training, and seems to me that either you have taken things to a different level this offseason or the coverage of your preparation has been taken to another level. Seen you in swimming pools, the workouts you've been doing, the private stuff you do with teammates. It seems like you want to make sure that you do everything you possibly can to take advantage of what you've got and the situation that you're in heading into this season.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, I've my program and my routine's, you know, changed and been altered over the last handful of years. And I feel like every year that I play in the big leagues, I get a little more experience about myself and how I need to manage the body throughout the year. And I've been really proud of my ability to stay healthy the last 3 years. And I think a lot of that is due to the work that I put in the off season. And the way that I look at it is, you know, in the season, you don't have the ability to get out there and lift and put size on and add strength. You're really just looking to maintain the things that you did in the off season. So for me, it's really pushing myself as hard as I can in the off season and going through those sucky days of being sore and achy and tired and, you know, pushing yourself to the absolute limit so that when you get here, you're able to tone things down a little bit and still feel like you're prepared and like you've done the work. So really, it's about maintenance. So yeah, those off season things have definitely gotten a little more attention, I think, because of some of the results I've gotten on the field. I think some people contribute that to the stuff that I do in the off season, and I do as well. So
yeah,
I always try to add something a little bit different, something to keep things fun and interesting in the off season. And, you know, I've just been lucky enough to be around the right people to put me in touch with some of these guys. And, you know, we've able to, you know, start a really good relationship and kind of, you know, progress adding guys in and bringing teammates over when they come in town.
Talk about that a little bit, though. Your curiosity is one of the things that I think separates you from a lot of people. You're constantly looking to find new things, better ways to make your body more efficient, to make you more efficient on the mound. Where does that come from? Like, how do you keep that burning?
Yeah, I think a little bit of trial and error. I think realizing what's actually beneficial for me and what's important to be done and what's kind of some of that eyewash stuff. You know, I think early on in my career, I had this idea that I had to be a certain type of person, or I had to act a certain type of way, or give off this bravado that I was a certain person on the mound. And I realized I was, you know, wasting so much of that mental energy and like just draining myself trying to be this person or trying to put on this image on the mound instead of really just focusing on what it is that I'm experiencing out there and what needs to be adjusted. So that's part of it. And then, yeah, like just being curious. I feel like you've seen the way the game's developed over the last handful of years alone. You know, yet alone since I've been in the big leagues over the past six, 7 years. So constantly trying to find new approaches or different ways. And I think partially if you have that idea in your mind that I'm doing something guys aren't, it gives you that little bit of added drive and it puts you in a position where you feel like you're a step ahead of everybody. And ultimately that's all you can do is do as much as you can to feel like when they get in the box and I stand on the mound, I'm more ready than you are, you know.
And the clock is running.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to actually a big league pitcher about the pitch clock. I've talked to everybody else's opinion on it, but how is it actually out there with the clock ticking down on you?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't gotten to get in an actual game and see what that's like, and I know it'll probably be a little different than the bullpens or the lives where you actually have a big league hitter in the box and you're going at that big league pace. You know, I think when you get into situations with runners on base or you get into a long inning, I think it could be a little bit different. I haven't had to experience that yet, but I feel like that could be the biggest struggle guys have is as you get into that 25, 30, 35.
You really want to focus when there's two guys and on and one out and you got a slugger in there.
Step off and take a breath and regain yourself to get that last out. You know, there's not really the time afforded for that. So I think there's a lot of positive in it. It has sped up the game. It has knocked out a lot of the nonsense and stuff that goes on throughout the course of the game. But personally, I think I'd like to see the clock go to a universal 20 second. Like 15 is a little bit of a stretch, and I don't think it adds that much more time on to throw an extra five. I mean, most guys aren't pushing that clock down to one anyway.
Right.
You're getting that pitch off at 15 seconds, but you give somebody 20 seconds universal, I feel like that still keeps the game at a good pace, and it gives guys a little more opportunity for, you know, these professional athletes who are professionals for a reason that are able to slow the game down and really focus in on the big moments in the game. I feel like we're kind of eliminating that a little bit by rushing the game and putting a clock on it. So I think to a certain extent we're sacrificing some of the quality that you might get, but the pace of the game is good, and again, it's something that guys are going to adjust to. So as rough as it might seem now, you know, I'm sure a couple months down the line it's going to be like second nature to everybody. And then the other thing is, I feel like once we get to that ninth inning, I think the clock needs to go away and we need to finish out the game. I
mean, a lot of people have said that.
The idea is to speed up the game, not control the outcome of the game. So once we get to that ninth inning, I don't think any fan's going to complain about, you know, watching these last final three outs play out the way that they need to. And as a fan, I mean, that's part of the experience is coming to the plate, you know, having Manny walk up to the plate with two outs and two on in the bottom of the ninth and, you know, hearing his walkout song and giving the crowd that time to kind of get on their feet and get
build
ready
that
for
drama.
The moment. You know, exactly. That's kind of a little bit of the home field advantage, and that's part of the excitement for both the players and the fans. So I don't want to see that stuff fade.
Yeah, I've always said it's not about time. It's about the pace and action. And,
right.
And you're going to get plenty of that through the first eight.
Right.
The ninth, it would make sense to kind of dial it back, but Major League Baseball seems pretty intent on this at this point.
Last we're working on it.
Keep working on him, Joe.
Chipping away at him.
Last one for me, Joe. This clubhouse is unique because there are so many leaders in this locker room. How do you go about finding your niche in terms of where your leadership is required?
Yeah, I think knowing, you know, knowing what you bring to the table, and I've said this a lot of times, but I think everyone brings a little something away from what they do on the field, whether you're the comedic relief in the clubhouse or whether you're the guy to kind of rope things back in. If you're the guy that, you know, creates the off-field stuff that keeps guys, you know, close and gives us things to do away from the field, I think everyone's got to kind of find out where they fit in. And I think with a clubhouse like this that's got as many leaders as we do, it's a little bit easier for guys to find their, you know, find their pocket. I think the best teams have a unified leadership, and it's not necessarily one guy shouting down from the top of the mountain. You know, it's a collective group of people that are all pushing the same message, and you're covering everything from the bullpen guys to the starters to, you know, someone on the bench that knows how to keep guys ready during the course of the game. I think everyone's just got to know what they bring to the table and do their best to bring that, regardless of what the results on the field are bringing to them.
Well, Joe, here's to having another fantastic season. We appreciate you stopping by, and you know, you are a treasure for all of us in San Diego. I think I feel speak for a lot of fans when I say that. So keep up the good work, and we'll see you this year during the year.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I've been listening to you guys' show all the time on the radio. I listen to Coach and you guys, you know, either coming to and from the field or whatnot. My girlfriend, family's always got it on, so we enjoy listening to you guys.
How about that? No, Joe enjoys listening to
us. That's amazing, honestly.
Did that include you, you think?
Did
he enjoy listening to you as well?
I don't know, because I don't say, like, smart things, and so
yes,
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
I don't know.
Yes, you do. You're no slouch, Grabby.
When he said that, I was like, hey, do you mean me too?
Do you mean me too? Well, I'll tell you one thing. This NCAA tournament game, we're not really allowed to do play-by-play, but it is a phenomenal game. They're deep into overtime now. Michigan State and Kansas State, there's less than a minute to go in the overtime period. Michigan State is on the free throw line. One free throw to tie the game. It was short. They missed it. So K-State has the ball with 40 seconds left to go. Michigan State will get it back, but it's 94-93 Kansas State. Marcus Noel has tied the all-time NCAA record for most assists in a tournament game for Kansas State. 18 assists for him, and one assist has been better than the next, Scraby. He's thrown some remarkable passes to help Kansas State get this lead in overtime.
He didn't make a very good choice there.
He took a three-point shot from about 45 feet away. He is saying that the ball was deflected.
Because it was an air ball.
It was an air ball by like 5 feet. It was that far away from the basket. I don't know if it was deflected or not, but they're going to look at it on replay. So we're probably not going to quite get to the end of this game while we're still chatting. But suffice to say, this game is fantastic. The other game, not so much. UConn is just absolutely blowing out the sauce. Arkansas, 71-46. It's been all UConn right from the get-go in that game. So Connecticut, everybody said they were the best-looking team in the first two rounds. They're making that look pretty smart because they are the best-looking team out there tonight so far. They're going to go to the Elite Eight. They will play either UConn – I'm sorry, UConn will play either UCLA or Gonzaga. And
it did touch his fingers.
You think it's going to be back to Kansas State ball?
I do. You can barely see his fingers touch and deflect the ball.
Deflect that shot. All right. Well, we have to leave you with Kansas State leading Michigan State 94-93 in overtime. We'll talk about the result tomorrow. We'll get talking about the Aztec game tomorrow. We'll also have tons of Padre interviews. Do not miss our final show live from Peoria. Thanks to our man on the board back home, Frank Marchese. Big Frank, way
Frank
to go,
Manicotti.
Frank the Tank, all of those. He's got so many nicknames.
He does.
It's unbelievable. What,
Tony called him Frank Manicasey or something like that. So he's got another one.
He's got three or four nicknames. For Scraby, Tony, Chris, have a good rest of your evening, everyone. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Adios.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.